I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey everybody, Steve here. As we recently announced, we are no longer producing new episodes of the podcast, but we did have content that we had recorded that we had not put into the regular feed for everybody to hear, and we wanted to share that with you, of course. So what you're hearing here is one of those episodes of Down the Rabbit Hole that hadn't gone out into the regular feed and had only previously been available through the premium service. So enjoy, and thanks a lot. This episode of Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by animated internet videos about badgers and snakes. Instead, it's brought to you by your local pet shelter. Ladies and gentlemen, there are critters out there who need a new home. They're furry, they're cute, they're puppies, they're kittens, they're bunnies, they're birds, they're whatever little critter it might be. But they need a new home, and if you're looking for a friend, they're going to be there, so go meet your new best friend. And if you can't go to the shelter to bring one home, well, you could always just donate. You can donate time, or you can donate money. These are all very easy, so go down to your local shelter, see what they need, do what you can. It's going to be a good thing. This episode is also not brought to you by contractual obligations. Instead, it's brought to you by HBO's show Sharp Objects. When a young girl disappears from rural Wind Gap, Missouri, reporter Camille Preaker is sent to investigate whether the case is linked to an unsolved murder. From the author of Gone Girl, the producer of Get Out, and the director of Big Little Lies comes HBO's limited series Sharp Objects, based on the novel by Gillian Flynn. Amy Adams stars as reporter Camille Preaker, whose proximity to the investigation, her chilly mother, and mysterious half-sister bring her own scars to the surface. Hailed as a spellbinding, addictive immersion into a dark, small-town mystery by IndieWire and the most captivating show of the summer by Time, Sharp Objects also features Patricia Clarkson, Chris Messina, and Eliza Scanlon. See new episodes every Sunday at 9 and catch up on HBO Now.
Thinking Sideways. Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
I don't understand. What?
Thinking Sideways. Thinking Sideways.
Dylan.
Steve.
Joe.
Down the Rabbit Hole.
Hey guys,
Welcome to a very special episode of Thinking Sideways, aka Down the Rabbit Hole with Thinking Sideways.
If you couldn't figure that out by that awesome theme song.
Yeah.
Sorry, rabbit.
I always forget, we don't have the theme song in the studio, so I always forget that there's some sideways kind of delineation there.
So. Oh, it's always running in the back of my brain, so because I really like that
constantly
one.
Constantly running in your head.
It really is. It's why I'm like
this. It's a good one. It's one of our special ones. One of the runner-ups in our contest.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about a mystery. Actually, are going to talk about a mystery.
A really scary mystery.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
Yeah.
This mystery was suggested by somebody named Krista a very long time ago.
Oh, thanks, Krista.
Basically, we're going to talk about the story of some missing hippies.
Yeah.
Because everybody loves when the hippies are missing.
Yeah.
But we've been happy that they've been missing for decades.
I don't know, I like hippies. But just a quick, brief little mention here, if you didn't notice, we marked this episode explicit because we're going to read some journal entries and it has some foul language. And I know a lot of you have been waiting to hear us swear a lot, so congratulations.
Yeah.
But if you have little ears and you don't want them exposed to that kind of language, just so you know. We're going to start with the story.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay.
On an unnamed date of August 1971, a group of what is always described as hippies decided to set up camp at Stonehenge. Yes, this story involves Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Wait, can I ask which Stonehenge it is?
The
Stonehenge.
Is it the big one or is it the little one from Spinal Tap?
The
one that was in danger of being crushed by dwarves.
It's the big one.
Okay.
It's also not the one that we have up here in Washington.
Well, that's not the real thing.
It's Stonehenge.
It's not even a very good replica, frankly.
It's not. It's really bad. Anyway, sorry. Let's get totally off topic already. It's fine.
Listen, every story is okay to be diverted towards Spinal Tap for a moment.
I agree.
I personally think that's fine.
Yeah. This was before the monument was protected from the public. It used to be open to the public. You may or may not know.
Believe it or not, people could just walk up, camp, take a crap, do whatever they wanted.
Chip off bits of it.
It's probably why it's in the state that it is in.
Yeah,
right
probably.
Now.
Yeah.
Also, or as Joe always kind of makes joke at or made note of in every single spot he possibly could have in my script, that maybe this was just when the public was not yet protected from Stonehenge.
I know, dangerous place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those big stones could have fallen on anybody at any time. That is an insurance hazard.
Well, there's a lot of mystical force that's kind of focused in Stonehenge, too.
Well, that plays into our story. The reason that this group of hippies, quote unquote, was going to Stonehenge is because they wanted to have a really big party. And, you know, Stonehenge is kind of, at least was kind of out there. But they also
It's not easy to get to.
Well, it's in between two highways, so it's pretty easy, but it was more out there. They also wanted to absorb the spiritual vibrations that surround this mystical monument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of that stuff going on there.
Yeah. They arrived at about 8 p.m., and they pitched their tents and got to partying.
Right on.
Yeah. Yes?
I was just about to say, wait, how do we know all these details? Where does this record come from officially?
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what I know is going to come in later in the story, I'm asking.
Forensic examination of the site.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, there are some journal entries and unsent letters that existed at the site.
Oh, okay. So that's how they know the majority of this?
At the site, or they were found very close by.
Though there's no real times mentioned in the letters and journal entries.
Okay.
But just maybe don't ask that question at all.
Okay, I'll just blindly nod my head and continue on.
Let's get buying.
Ignorance
here,
is bliss.
Okay.
Well, it might be too that everybody just assumed they were hippies and they were going to party and do drugs and have wanton sex, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all I will say is that I'm asking for a certain level of suspension of disbelief for now.
Got it.
All right.
Okay.
Belief suspended.
Great. So, with that belief suspended, about 8 p.m., the group pitched their tents.
I don't believe it because my belief has been suspended.
No. Yeah. Disbelief. A suspension of disbelief.
Sorry. I got
that's
it wrong.
Great. Yeah.
Around 1:50 a.m., the partying was still going on. But then at about 2, a sudden flash of lightning rains down and a storm just lets loose.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently in that, it rolls in kind of quick there.
Yeah. About 10 minutes. Plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out on the near. Well, I mean, Britain's an island, and storms blow in off the ocean all the time, and they're usually pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. The group seemingly relatively undeterred by the storm, decides to take the party to their tents. The storm is reported to have been a pretty strong lightning storm. So there's just lightning striking everywhere, you know, the rocks around them, on the ground, everywhere. It's just... Yeah, it's like Thor is just really mad and throwing lots of stuff at them.
I've always presumed that was when Thor was drunk and just dropping the hammer because he was so hammered.
Yeah.
That's how that happened.
That's why they call it hammered, yeah.
Yeah.
What was was it a Fantasia one episode or part where one of the gods had like all the lightning and it was just dropping from behind him?
It has been so long since I've seen that.
I think it was Fantasia.
I do not know.
Anyways, that's what I think was happening. Somebody just dropped an armful of lightning. Reports are that eventually the whole area was bathed in a eerie kind of blue light, perhaps from the lightning, perhaps from something else. This report comes from a police officer who happened to be on patrol at 2 o'clock in the morning. Suspension of disbelief.
Well, no, they patrol.
And it's corroborated by a farmer who was for some reason out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Harvesting the midnight mushrooms.
Suspension of disbelief. Both men said that the light was so blinding that they had to avert their eyes. The blue light was eventually accompanied by, quote unquote, a blood-curdling scream, or many blood-curdling screams. Both men reacted to this whole thing by thinking, oh, I'll just run towards that blue light where screaming is coming from.
I can just picture, if I was standing there, I would say to the cop, well, I ain't going over there.
Well, I don't know how they were in relation to each other.
Were they 100 yards, a couple of miles?
You know.
They must have been like
either
closer
side.
Than a couple of miles.
No, I mean to each other.
Yeah, were they standing next to each other?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea about that.
They were sharing a 2 a.m. smoke.
Yeah, maybe that was it. They went running towards the tents to see if people needed help. They both arrived, though, like I said, I don't really know how long it took either of them to arrive. If they arrived at the same time, totally different times.
Or if they were running in slow motion, you don't know.
Possible.
Yeah.
But they both discovered, either together or apart or whatever, that the tents had been totally obliterated and the group was entirely gone. The men investigated and did discover that some journals and notes had been left behind, scattered kind of around the space.
Conveniently held down by rocks.
I guess, or, you know, stuck on rocks or whatever.
Oh, just
and though
on the
tent and all the other belongings had been obliterated, for some reason, these journals survived.
I heard that the only thing that was left of the tents were the tent pegs.
Smoldering tent pegs.
Yeah, they were kind of like, you know, burnt, but there were some tent pegs left.
The first journal entry was dated July 10th, 1971.
Oh.
And basically, it was just talking about how a couple of the men of the group, it was one of our missing hippies. It was one of the guys.
The male missing hippies.
One of them. It was his journal.
That would be the MMH, missing male hippie.
No.
Yeah, they're all
But
there.
Yes.
But yeah, kind of, yeah. Anyway, the first journal entry talks about how the guys went out and basically just decided that they thought it'd be fun to go camp at the big rock place in England, which was Stonehenge.
I like it. They don't even know the name of it. That's how dumb those hippies were.
Yeah.
Oh, that big rock place, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They decided that they would invite their girlfriends.
MFH?
And then maybe some of their other friends. But they weren't sure if the law enforcement would be too close.
The man.
Basically. The next one was dated July 11th of the same year. They basically just talk about, you know, talking to people about wanting to take this trip.
And it sounds like they were kind of on the American side of the pond here.
Yeah, maybe.
They talk about crossing the pond.
Yeah.
That's true. They do.
This one just briefly mentions that one of the girls, whose name is Wilma, said that she didn't really want to go because she had had a dream of a circle of rocks and God's hand striking or something like that. So she didn't really want to go. And I think this is the reason that this is often presented is to kind of set up that Wilma was reportedly maybe a little psychic about this whole thing.
Well, Wilma had been drinking a lot since Fred had died, though.
Yes.
Because
they were the Flintstones.
Point. Yeah. Apparently, they were not trusting her spiritual or her psychic abilities quite so much.
Next entry is August 17th, which I believe is the day before the incident happened. I believe the incident happened on August 18th, though it's never actually explicitly dated that it was August 18th, but just for the dates of the journal entries and letters and things like that. They are apparently out at somebody's farm doing some work.
In England at this point.
In England. And sounds like Wilma's still not really into the idea of going to Stonehenge. And come to think of it, it's possible that the farmer that was out was the guy whose farm they were working on the day before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was Mr. Jacobson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess it's possible. I don't really know. I don't really know anything about this.
But they talked about working at Jacobson's farm to pick
they
up
did.
Some cash. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible that he heard the lightning and knew they were going to be out there and came out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's why he was out there. I don't really know. Mm. Anyway, the next journal entry was the final journal entry. And it was on August 18th. Basically just kind of talking about setting up camp. Although it doesn't, I don't know why if you were partying and all of that stuff, you would really be writing journals, but sure,
well,
whatever.
We've all been camping though, and there's a time when you get your camp set up and your friends are still dinking around to get theirs set up and you've got time on your hands.
Yeah.
And so you'll sit, I think we've all done sat down and said, well, I'll just read for a couple of minutes or something. But if you are a journaler, you'd sit down and write in your journal.
I suppose.
True.
I mean, this passage would have taken about 5 or 10 minutes to write, even though this ding dong, apparently his hand cramps up after so little writing.
I know.
Yeah, he does say, might as well.
Getting bored just writing it.
Julia's calling me to help. Might as well, because I'm getting to just get. It's getting boring just writing. My hand's cramping up. Well, then there's three letters, and we'll, I guess, go ahead and read these three letters.
By the way, I do want to just mention that we've summarized this, but there's a lot of talk of pot. There's a lot of talk of getting it on, you know, typical hippie vernacular stuff that is in here. So it's very stereotypical is what I want to say. These supposed journal entries.
Yeah. I'll read the first letter and then you guys can each read
one
of
the subsequent letters. We can duke it out over the other.
Paper, rock, scissors over who wants to be Wilma. Yeah. Got it.
The first letter is from Julia, who was, you know, the one who was calling the journaler.
Mm-hmm.
Says, quote, the guys brought pot. Can you believe that? I thought we'd just take a trip down to see the place and have a nice camping trip. But no, they had to go bring that stinky ass grass shit here. Men just don't know the first thing about manners.
Now, this chick calls herself a hippie?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, she doesn't. Everybody else calls them a group of hippies.
Listen, there's always a group of hippies that has one square among them.
True, okay. True.
It always happens.
So, sorry, I should have mentioned all three of these letters are dated August 18th.
Yeah, same day.
Well, they're certainly a letter-writing bunch, weren't they?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's convenient for our story.
Yeah, and I don't know who these letters were being written to or anything like that, but there you go.
Yeah.
So the next one was from a guy named Lucas, and you guys can just do
Lucas
it. Do you want to be Lucas or you want to be Will?
I don't care. You
all right, I'll be Lucas then. Fine. Daniel and... Oh, okay. So August 18th, 1971 from Lucas. Daniel and I are smoking it up. It's times like this when us five are together, away from our families in the city, that smoking relaxes you the most and makes you think. Maybe I'll quit my job at the auto shop when I get back. Julia is fuming smoke out of her ears that we brought the stuff, but I don't mind. Almost every time she comes around, she takes a drag. Makes her loose, if you know what I mean. Wilma huddles in front of the tent, growing nervouser by the minute. She keeps swearing that something bad's gonna happen, that we're gonna die or some other dark shit. I wouldn't believe her lately, but she ain't been drinking for a couple of weeks. If she don't brighten up soon, I swear I'll push her out myself.
Rough.
Yeah, push her out. I wonder what that means.
I don't even know what push her out means.
Of the group, probably?
No, maybe push her out in front of a train or a truck.
I think
that.
Or the lightning.
I think of the group.
Okay.
I like the train idea better.
Come on, Wilma, read your part.
I can be Wilma. Wilma's the psychic one. I'm going to do it in my Wilma voice. Ready? It's raining. I knew there'd be rain. Okay.
Actually, please continue to use your Wilma voice.
There's always rain when the blue glow comes. The blue glow comes for me every night, but only when I'm not drunk. They took my pa straight into the sky like nothing. He told me about them before that. That they don't come after you if you're too drunk to see your own hands. Okay. So that's why she was drinking. This past few weeks, I haven't been drinking, and I've been having my future dreams again. But they haven't come for me yet. Not since the others started talking about coming to Stonehenge. Sherry's scared of the lightning. Always has been. But that's not what she should be scared about. I think the lightning is close. It hit a tree and the rocks, too. I think the rocks are theirs. The thing's rocks. They're glowing brighter than the lightning. If someone finds this out, tear this godforsaken place down. And the rest, and this is all illegible after that, presumably because of the blinding light or something. Yep. So she was writing her last final letter in the middle of the lightning, under a lightning storm.
Oh, well, then we should have been, we really missed an opportunity, Devin.
Hmm.
We could have been in the background going.
Yeah. I can get some foil out and make thunder noises.
You're right, we should have been, you're right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Poor planning on our part, sorry.
It is. Sorry, everyone. As for this last letter, again, you know, I think it's meant to be, have been composed during the storm.
Yeah.
But I'm, again, I'm not totally sure.
That's an odd thing to do in the middle of a lightning storm.
But, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. So that's our story?
That's our story.
Thank God.
So, yeah, they all disappeared and they left some letters and journal entries behind, but that's it. No trace. Guess we got some names, but other than that, don't know. Yeah, who they were, where they're from.
That's true. So, you guys want to talk about theories about what this could have been?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about a few theories, sure.
Okay, but before we get into theories, let's take a quick break.
Now that we're in this wonderful ad break, I think I want to tell you what this story makes me think of. It makes me think of feet, because I think that these people should have beat feet at the first sign of that storm. They're crazy town. You know what else makes me think of feet? Socks, because they go on my feet. And that makes me want to think about Bombas socks, because they're the most comfortable socks in the history of feet, which is a long time, many feet of feet. After many years of research and development, Bombas has re-engineered the sock with innovations to make them way more comfortable. They've got super soft cotton, so they keep you warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And what's really awesome is they're a company with a conscience. They donate. They donate one pair of socks for every pair they sell to people in homeless shelters. So they've donated like 7 million pairs or some crazy huge number like that so far. I wear Bombas all the time. I love them. I can wear them to the gym. I can wear them to the house. They're great socks, and I really, really like them. They feel good, and they look good. If you want to get a pair of Bombas socks of your own, we can help you out with that, because as our listener, you can get 20% off your first order. Just go to bombas.com/sideways and use the promo code sideways. That's Bombas, bombas.com/sideways. You know how to spell sideways. And again, enter the promo code sideways, which you just spelled when you entered that URL, and get 20% off your first order. Everybody loves feet.
And we're back. Let's talk about some hippies. So the first theory would clearly be aliens. This was an alien abduction. I mean, Wilma
even human harvesting?
She even wrote in her letter about the things that come down from the sky took her dad.
People
and,
like ascend into the sky and stuff.
Yeah. No, I think they just took him.
No, I think they probed him.
I mean, maybe, but all we know is they took him.
They took his dignity.
They took him away, but doesn't really matter. Took him straight into the sky like nothing. And, you know, they're camping at Stonehenge, which is pretty much always referred to as kind of an alien, ancient alien technology spot.
They can see it from orbit. And
right.
So
it's a landing dock, right?
Yeah, it is kind of. Yeah.
Anyway, so that would be our first theory. I think it's a pretty good one, the blue light.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys don't like the theory ones.
It's an easy go-to. I mean, it makes, of all of the stuff that we have, except for one, it makes the most sense.
Fair enough.
It actually does.
Because let's be honest, the Bermuda Triangle is goofy.
Well, the Stonehenge Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just
For one, Stonehenge is a circle, not a triangle.
The Stonehenge Bermuda Circle, then.
Yeah. And the
that is the next theory, but we don't really need to talk about
it. I think we know.
Yeah. Next one, Joe added, I think.
What? Oh, yeah. Spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or spontaneous tent combustion.
Yeah, that too. All their stuff combusting.
Except their journals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, those probably got blown away by the wind before they got, you know.
Well, that's fortuitous.
Incinerated. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So this one is like, you know, I mean, actually, usually spontaneous human combustion, which apparently does seem to happen occasionally, it's not exactly spontaneous. Usually there's a spark of something that lights you on fire. But if you're a certain level of fatness, apparently you'll burn like a candle.
Yeah.
So it does happen. But I don't know if these guys were you know.
They're hippies. They were scrawny and malnourished. They're probably vegan hippies.
Probably undernourished. Yeah,
probably.
So probably not good candidates for spontaneous human combustion.
Could have been a murder.
Could have been actually a murder.
That
could have
been
the bodies were taken away.
Blood-curdling screams and the bodies were taken away and the tent set on fire.
What if they were murdered by the cliche that was their existence?
Could have been. Well, you know, it could be that there's somebody out there who kind of fancies himself the guardian of Stonehenge and felt that these guys were disrespecting the sacred spot.
That's true.
Men in long robes with big hoods on.
Yeah, druid kind.
I can't say that word.
That's okay.
Yeah, druid dudes.
Yeah. Okay, and we have one more theory, but before we talk about that theory, do you guys have any other theories?
Well, somebody here wrote that the farmer was actually a former Nazi scientist.
Oh.
Who wrote that?
I don't know
who wrote that.
Oh.
That's kind of funny, but the Nazis did not actually have a death ray.
That you know of.
So it obviously could not have been harvesting Stonehenge.
It could have been Tesla from the grave.
It could have been.
Wait, the car Tesla?
No.
The space car? Coop Tesla?
No.
Or the scientist Tesla?
Scientist Tesla. Yeah. With his death ray, remember?
I totally remember his death ray.
Yeah. Could have been that.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is quite a while after World War II. I could imagine a Nazi scientist who, you know, was working on it back in the Third Reich days and managed to escape or be transported to the West after the war, and which happened to a lot of scientists, and he was just tinkering in his basement with this death ray over the years and eventually had a prototype built and decided, hey, there's some stinky old hippies. Nobody's going to miss them if I vaporize them. So he went out and tested it.
So if I have to summarize that theory right there, that's utter bullshit.
Agree.
I would say it's unsubstantiated. I wouldn't call it bullshit. It's perfectly plausible. Yeah.
The last theory is actually the truth, and I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh, no. We're going to solve the mystery?
We are going to solve the mystery. It's actually that this is an urban legend, and the basis of which is based on a TV show called Quatermass.
Quatermass.
1979.
Yeah.
Yeah, a British professor named Quatermass.
Mm-hmm. This was like a lead in to one of the.
Yeah, it was an alien abduction, people being harvested TV show thing.
Yeah, I think at this particular point in time, my understanding, I never saw the show, but my understanding is that at this time, that it's set in the near future, and all the hippies have joined this cult, and they call themselves Planet People, and they gather at prehistoric sites, hoping to be essentially abducted by aliens and transported to another better planet than our own.
Mm hmm.
And so that's
they
what
are being abducted.
And so in the
for food.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean,
spoilers. Come on, man.
I know.
1979. I think it's okay.
30 years later.
Yeah.
It's not too soon.
Yeah. No, we've seen the Twilight Zone app and all that stuff. Sorry, everyone, to burst your bubble.
I know everybody likes the story, but
this was totally from the first episode of that series. Was when this happened. So. Yeah. It's a fun little story, and it is reverberating around the internet. It's certainly cut and pasted in a lot of places.
It's all copy pasted.
Yeah, pretty much.
I believe deeply.
Except for the journal entries, I rarely found it anywhere that it was told in anything but the same four paragraphs.
Yeah.
I think that actually Devin Harris has actually performed a valuable service for you all and gathered together every bit of information there is about this particular story. Generally, when you see it, you don't see quotations from the letters in the journal entries, for example.
Maybe I'll post it on our Reddit or something like that. Put it out there.
Well, if you
claim to fame, but I guess that's it. Sorry, guys. Thank you.
Don't be sorry. You solved the mystery. So good detective work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good job.
As you know, probably this is Stitcher Premium content, and so we just want to thank you guys for subscribing to us on Stitcher Premium.
Yep.
It really, really supports the show.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thanks.
We really appreciate it. Yeah, so I guess with all that having been said, we will see you next time on Down the Rabbit Hole next month.
And we'll probably be before then because we got our other regular episodes.
Well, you'll see us regular, but this is special.
Wait, guys, before we end, we're kind of missing an opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
We've given the advisory. So is there any foul language that you quickly want to air?
Heck.
Poop.
Darn.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't have anything good anymore.
Fudge.
Oh, shit.
Fudge
God damn
you.
It. All right. Okay. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye.
Bye, everybody.